he's going to learn the things that he needs to put in place that will win the people's, you know, support. And he can learn that too.
My suggestion to all Americans, first of all, President Donald Trump is president of all America, not just the all right, but minorities, black, white, yellow, you know, red and brown, of all the people. So it's incumbent upon us to pray for him. It's incumbent upon him that he be successful, because if he's successful, everyone in America will be successful. I mean, it's almost bringing factory job back to America. To me, that's a little unrealistic idea in the age of technology and what have you. I mean, even Carrier is putting a $7 billion in the plant. But guess what, Dr. Stem? That new innovation gonna put people out of work, because robots gonna be doing the work. So you need to learn how to program the computer to let the robot work for you with your knowledge. This is what we need to do. It's the thing we need to reinvent ourselves.
Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. But the Dr. Stem Show will give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
In his speech, President Trump said, "Today's ceremony has very special meaning. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C. and giving it back to you, the people. It belongs to everyone gathered here today and everyone watching all across America. This is your day. This is your celebration. And this is the United States of America. This is your country. What truly matters is not which party controls our government." And for this Dr. Stem Show, I'm going to say, but what matters is who controls you, your life, your legacy, and your family. Welcome to the Dr. Stem Show. And today we are going to look at this great change that happened in our great United States of America. We have a new president. And what does that president mean? And what does it mean for your life? And also, you know, how is it changing lives? Because it's not something that I think 100% of the people are celebrating, especially on this day. So I have the good Reverend Dr. Bernard Reese, who is here to help us take a look at the history and take a look why the people are so upset and what the changes are, what the fears are, because there's a lot of emotions that are going on, you know, out there. So I want to welcome Reverend Bernard Reese to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Stem. Always a pleasure to be a part of your radio show, just a part of you as a person, as a whole. I'm honored to even be considered to even be a guest on your show. I appreciate it. And thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, you know, I needed to reach out to you because we need the people to find some place of peace or, you know, grounding, because there's a lot of commotion. And today, Saturday, the 21st, as you know, there's a women's march that's going to be there. And it's one of the largest women's march that there is. Have you seen that on the news?
Yes, I have.
You did. See, that's the thing. I just started seeing buses and people getting on buses from all different states, and I didn't understand. I didn't even know that there was going to be this big match. Why do you think there's so much commotion and so much disagreement, Doc?
Well, first of all, we got to realize we're living in a polarized country. It seems to be two nations under guard. And not only just two nations, and even in President Donald Trump's speech, when he talked about the haves, the have-nots, you know, and the forgottens. And the question, even when I read his speech yesterday, and the statement that you just read about him, that it's a transition of government, not from one party to another party, but to the people.
The people.
And then the question that I have to ask, and in the context of the quote unquote people, who is Mr. Trump talking about? Is he talking about the people that elected him? Is he talking about the alt-right movement? Is he talking about Nazis? Or he's talking about Ku Klux Klan or white supremacists? I have a problem when he talks about the people. Is it all-inclusive or exclusive? And even in his inaugural address, the 16 minutes, it seemed to me is like a campaign speech and speaking to his base. So if you're speaking to your base, when you talk about people, it's just like my grandson. My grandson, he's in pre-K, and we didn't think he would like going to school because he'd been around, you know, his grandmother for 4 years. And we took him to preschool in September. He was crying, having tantrum fits. But after a day or two, his grandmother said, "Denim, do you want to go to school?" "Yeah, I want to go. I got to go see my boys. I got to go see my people." Now, what did my grandson, when he say people, would he talk about the entire classroom? Would he talk about the entire population, student body? No. When he said my boys or my people, he was talking about Anthony and Christopher. And I happened to meet them. So when you talk about the people, is it all inclusive or is it exclusive? And like I say, if you want to know what a person will do, Dr. Stem, you got to go and review the record, because you are your record. So when I look at the record of President Donald Trump, his record is the all-exclusive, all-boys party that is exclusive from minorities. And his cabinet is the most polarized, less diverse cabinet in modern history, historically, in the presidential cabinet of the United States. And I think you got a woman that she's Asian, and then you have Dr. Ben Carson. So, you know, when you talk about people, you know, I just caused me to pause. Is he talking about his own body, constituents that elected him? So in that case, and then with another thing, when he said make America great again, the question I'm asking, what do he mean making America great again? If we can recall the 2008 presidential campaign with President Barack Obama, we can understand we was on a catastrophic course of recession, great recession, other than the great recessions in 1929. I mean, we were losing 200-some-a-thousand jobs per month. The unemployment rate was hovering at 10%. Banks were failing. Insurance companies were failing. The housing was a disaster. So Mr. Trump is inheriting an economy that is 100 times better than what Barack Obama inherited. So what do you mean by make America great again? In what context of historical context or what period of this nation you're talking about?
Well, you know, I mean, and I don't mean to defend him or anything, but this conversation, let me just warn you, Reverend Doctor, I'm going to take also a stance, you know, that is probably, you know, devil's advocate and open people's minds as we do this discussion. Because then I'm thinking, from what you just said and what people will take away from all these speeches, right? Do we agree that people might take a look at it from different angles, whether they support him or not, and those that actually have read it and listened to him and take parts of that speech that they can work with to change their own lives? Do we agree that people might, you know, have different opinions on the speech, right?
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
Because most everything we hear, Dr. Stem, is an opinion and not a fact.
Exactly. Exactly.
Opinion. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. And I respect the opinions of others because they look at the world through their own lens and through their own lived experience. I respect that. But then we can stand as a mathematician, as a scientist.
Yes.
No one's entitled to their own facts. And I deal with the numbers. So therefore, I look at that. And most everything we see is a perceptive and not the truth. And then if it's the truth, it's the truth in respect to your lived experience and not absolute truth. So therefore, Dr. Stem, since I don't have absolute truth, neither do you or no one else, I am open for other people's truth.
The reality of it is we are afraid and scared because we have someone with zero experience, you know, about what America faces, whether it's economic, you know, financial factors. I mean, he might have the numbers for the business, but I don't think he's got it all to understand what it means to be the leader of this nation. And that's the scary part about this whole thing, I think.
But even though I understand that he don't have experience, but when you think about the culture of the government, of the White House, of the Congress, and the judicial system, the culture is bigger than any one individual. Mm-hmm. And President Obama, he found that out also in the first 100 days or the first tenure of his presidency. And that culture is not going to change overnight. You know, you're not going to turn it around on the dime. It's like an ocean liner making a turn. It takes time, and it's a slow process before any change can come. But what I want to say is that, as I tell people, my members was really distraught. They was upset over the election of in November. But I told them, you know, the day after election, the sun rose that morning. And if you rose to see the sun, then you are blessed. Have the activities of your limbs and in your right mind, you are blessed. And every one of us should be working hard to make any and every action of all politicians as irrelevant to your personal life, your business life, your spiritual life, your social life, or every part of your life, because the government is not going to save us, Dr. Stem. Obama didn't save us. You know, we talk about President Clinton. He didn't save us. And in the minority community, in the African-American community, ever since the statistics of the census of the Labor Bureau of unemployment, blacks have been double digit in the unemployment category. So who have saved us? And even if they say they're going to save us, do you really want to put your life in the hands of politicians, honest or dishonest? I wouldn't even want to rely on any politician, honest or dishonest. As a matter of fact, I don't want to rely on anyone other than God and myself in the decision for my life.
Now you're talking my language. You're talking my language.
You know? Your success and quality of life is down to two entities, God and you.
Now you're talking my language. Because at the end of the day, this is my question to all of the people that are listening, whether, you know, minorities or non-minorities, Republicans or Democrats, how was your life changed in the 8 years that the outgoing President Obama was in the White House? How did your life change? Because everything shifted to support, you know, us, the ones that are complaining today. Everything shifted. And you know, doors were open. And we had some form of ways, you know, of achieving and attaining a different, you know, I mean, life, part of our lives that could, you know, not have happened prior to him. So how did you take advantage of that? And that's the question, because there are people that are going to succeed during this presidency, in the 4 years that he's in president. There are people that are going to take leaps and find means and ways of making sure that their lives change. But as you said, it's up to each individual and their God or whatever they believe in is to be their higher power. It's up to us.
And that is so true. As I told you the other day, there are four types of people in this world. Some people that make things happen, others that wondering what happened, why it happened, and others don't give a flying leap of what's happened. So where do you stand? I take the first premises. I make things happen. I don't wake up wanting, thinking anybody going to make things happen to me. I don't look for anyone to do more for me than I'm willing to do for myself through the grace of God. And so therefore, I've been cognitive of election ever since I was 8 years old, back in 1960 when President Kennedy was running and people up in arms about him. So I've been voting since 72 with Nixon and what have you. I'm a conscientious lecturer. I am a conscientious news person, a Renaissance person. But in all that, and this is my premise, and I keep telling you spiritually, that in Psalms 118 and 89, the middle chapter of the Bible out of 1,189 chapters, this chapter is the balance. And I think we need to find balance in our lives. We can't be too heavenly bound and no earthly good. We can't be too earthly bound and no heavenly good. We got to find balance in our life. And it said, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. And the ninth verse is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes. I mean, I trust politicians as far as I can throw them. And then I pray for them. You know, the heart of the king is in the hand of God. God set up and take down. So we got to realize that no one has the power over ourselves than we do. And the thing about it, Dr. Stem, we are our worst person to lead. It's hard to lead ourselves. It's hard to take advice that we give others to apply to our lives. So we ourselves have that ability. And the sooner we stop looking elsewhere out of ourselves and above for our Savior, the better you will be in every area of your life in this world and eternal life in the world to come. And this is what I'm talking about. So I told my people in the church, you know, stop fretting. You know, the Bible said, be anxious over nothing, but pray about everything. You know, and I think we get so involved into this materialistic, capitalistic world, but we have to make things, we got to plan our work and work out our plan. He that failed to plan, had planned to fail. You got to plan your work and work your plan. And understand, I mean, racism is here, discrimination, but so what? You know, understand we got to work twice as hard and maybe get as half as far, but aim for the moon.
Yeah, right.
If you just land on the light pole, you higher than where you start, but get started.
So, okay, so I get that. And you know what? Here's the other thing that I'm thinking too with the results of this election that just happened. I believe and know that, you know, African-Americans, Democrats, they were too laxed, too relaxed, too comfortable, and too probably, you know, believing, they believed way too much that, you know what, there's no way that the current president would win, would even, you know, go through just that nomination phase. And I didn't see as much work, you know, as was done during the Obama, you know, election times, that people went out, they, you know, I mean, got together in groups and phases and encouraged each other to go and vote, believing that, you know what, the vote is what makes the difference. And I didn't see that happening. So as a result, when the results came, I could see the person that was more determined, that was more challenging himself to say this is happening. And with that, I'll just tell you one thing, Doc, that I was reading earlier on. The thing about it is everybody says, well, he has no experience. And you know what? There's no way that he could change this country. I believe there are certain things that we could see change in this country that, you know, probably only a business person, a determined person like, you know, President Donald Trump would be able to do. Because he said in one of the interviews that he was interviewed, he says, people ask me, how did you get rich? And he says, the way I do things has allowed me to succeed financially far beyond what I had expected. I've had a lot of fun, made a lot of money, known a lot of celebrities, billionaire, but it's not easy to explain in words what it is that it takes. But it's your attitude, your action, your persistence, and passion. And I saw all four of these during his campaign. His attitude was a winning attitude, not that negative attitude that he had. It's nasty, and I don't think it's going anywhere. He showed us who he is, and it's going to come out that he, you know, that attitude, what he feels about people and what he, you know, I mean, he's going to do, that's going to come out, and that's scary. But you know what? The positive aspects of him that I saw, the attitude, the action, the persistent, the passion, and also the knowing that if I put everything, you know, that I can out there, I'm going to win. And he believed he was going to win from day one that he did this. And at first, I think it was a joke for him that, you know what, I'll just do this to show people, you know, what's possible and how we as Americans need to think, because then we need to think winning. We need to think success. And let me show them. And then, boom, it happened. He actually won. And when he won, he was like, whoa, I actually won. So is it possible for us as Americans to learn and get at least that positive aspect of him so that we can make a change in the next 4 years for ourselves and also for the whole country when the time comes to be voting?
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
To be successful in anything, you need to have passion. You know, to be successful in life in general, as I've told you before on one of your shows, is that, first of all, to be successful in life, you have to know your purpose in life. You got to know, you know, what you're here for. And being here, you need to have a passion for what you do. And to wait to get financial wealth, I always tell people, you need to have an idea. You need to have a talent. You have to have something creative that is in high demand by society. And then you have to be an expert in that talent, that skill, or that knowledge. And then you have to have passion. Those three things, Dr. Stem, that bring forth wealth. Now, if you have an idea that nobody interests in, and you're passionate about it, guess what? You're never going to reach your successful goal. If you don't have an idea or talent and you have no passion in it, and, you know, you're still not going to be successful. Leave any one of those items out of that equation, you will find yourself relegated to a J-O-B. And you know what a J-O-B is. Just over broke. Look at LeBron James. I mean, an outstanding basketball player. Now, number one, that is something. And then tomorrow, the football championship, the American Conference, the National Football Conference. Now, here you got Tom Brady of the New England Patriots. You got Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got the Atlanta Falcons going up against Green Bay. You know, but it is something that the world want to see. You know, people are going to be tuned in. And then it's the talent that these gentlemen have for the outstanding quarterbacks. Three of them already won a Super Bowl. And now they got the talent and they have the passion for it. And guess what? All of them are millionaires. So those are the things you need for success. So Donald Trump, I mean, you got to realize that his father was a real estate investor. I mean, his father was a millionaire. All right. And his father gave him millions of dollars to get started. Who gave you millions of dollars? Who gave me millions of dollars? So, you know, and then being in that situation of success and elitist, and you have something to start. You got to realize, doctor, you got to realize that even in America, in our country, and not saying anything bad, but even blacks, I mean, we didn't really start running in affirmative action in 1964. But what about 1619? What about the 1700s? What about the 1800s, the 1900s, when white people had all the wealth and able to turn that wealth over to their children? You know, I give a activity in my school when I teach diversity and inclusion. Said, how many of you was able to have your parents support your college, take a foot forward? And you find white people, they'll take a foothold. How many of you how many of your parents own houses? They take another step forward. How many people of your parents have college education? They take another step forward. You know where I find myself at? In the back of the line. I need a shuttle bus to catch up with them. My mother didn't have housing. My mother didn't have education. My mother didn't have finance to support me through a college. I had to work college. I worked 40, 50 hours a week and went to college full time and finished 7 colleges. What made me do it? There was passion. What made me do it? There's purpose. What made me do it? To assess my humanity. What made me pursue education profusely, even though I have to work twice as hard and only get half as far as the larger community? Because it was something in me, passion, to assess my humanity, to be able to understand the written word, the written print and the spoken language for me to rationalize, to analyze, and make a conscious, rational decision for me to be successful and so I can pass the baton to a generation that they can speak truth to power. So those are the things that you got to look at. But number one, I know who I am. I know my purpose. Once you know your why, two of the most important days of your life, the day you were born, the day you discover why, your purpose is like turbocharge that boosts you past racism, that boosts you past discrimination, that pushes you past what people think about you, because their opinion about me does not make my attitude. I'm not who I say I am or who you say I am. I am who God say I am, and I'm here for purpose. I'm here to make this world a better place. So I'm not depending upon a president. I'm not depending upon the government. I'm not putting my life in nobody's hands. You know, the Bible says, search the scriptures wherever you think you get eternal life. The Bible said you have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You ever for not knowing the scripture. So we have to be educated. We have to be pursuing passionately. So that's my success. You know, and I'm not comparing myself with anyone. Donald Trump, if I compare my paycheck with Bill Gates, I feel like a failure. You know, I want to go to the Brooklyn Bridge and just jump off. But if I compare myself with where I come from the ghettos, from the hood, from a single mother, head of household with 10 children, grew up in the ghettos, going to dilapidated school, again, ghetto education, and here I am. I'm happy as a cat meow.
And that's why we have the Dr. STEM Show, because the goal of this show is to empower, motivate, encourage, and to inspire other people that will be listening in, so that they know that the opportunities that is given to myself, to the guests that I bring on this show, are also available to everyone. Just like you say, Dr. Reese, I was also going to say the same thing. See, I'm originally from Zimbabwe, as you know. So my thing about it is being right here in the United States of America, the land of opportunity, is a blessing like no other, that every Zimbabwean kid, every Zimbabwean adult wishes, hopes, and is still looking for ways to come right here and make it happen for themselves, and just to put food on, you know, on the table, just to be, to have the basic needs. Because as I look back in my country right now, it is not doing well at all. We wish we could have even a quarter of what the United States of America has, so that our people can have food, our people can have good, solid, reliable government that will be supportive of the people. We don't have that. So as a result, I am always looking at United States and looking for opportunities and saying, you know what, I am truly blessed to be in this country. So as a foreigner, I've heard some people say the foreigners come and get our work and they get our food. But as a foreigner, I come here with that passion that is, you know, as they say, unstoppable passion, to make sure that I can get whatever education that I need, whatever training that I need, whatever it takes in order for me to change somebody else's life, but mostly to change my family's life and my life, and to prove what's possible. So the question again is, what's going to be possible for you as a listener? What are you going to do with your passion, with what you have, with what is being, you know, put out there? I didn't have any money. My parents certainly still don't have any money. I'm one that went to school part-time, doc. I went part-time at night, taking one class at a time. The degree that took everybody else 4 years, it took me 8 years to take, because I knew I needed an education. I knew that is what will get you more in this country, to have some form of education, training that you can qualify for. That way you're more valuable and you can get paid more money. That's what it's, you know, it's about. But you spoke about, you know, that you have to trust in yourself and to believe in yourself. I believe that, because that's the first thing that everyone is called for. As I said, it's time to shift right now. What this whole means with all this change, Doc, I think people have been called to shift their minds, to shift their actions, to shift the way that things, you know, have been stagnant for them, you know, probably for the last 8 years or so. We're still continuing, because things are going to change back to, you know, what was before the last 8 years, and that was scary. But then it brings us back to that, you know, point of action again. So from your point of view, because then I also want to, you know, I mean, let the Americans know, what is it that the African Americans, the specific things, if you have those, of what their fear is, so that at least they are reminded of those, and then we can work towards solutions, resolutions on how we are going to advocate for those to remain the same, to change, or to change it in the next administration?
Again, I'm saying the administration, whoever is in president, whoever, Democrats or Republicans, in the whole gamut of the history of politician and in the historical context, it have not been really beneficial for minorities and especially African Americans. I mean, everything wasn't great under Democrats. If you look at, I mean, the Republican Party, the party of Lincoln, is different from the party of Donald Trump. If you look at the party of Nixon in the 72, when he went to the South, and then when Democrats came out of the Democratic Party and went to the Republican, because the Democrats was mostly a whole bunch of Ku Klux Klans in the South. So I'm not putting all my eggs in no basket of any politician. So therefore, we have to become, again, self-assertive. We have to become, we got to look within ourselves. When God made us, Dr. Stem, he gave us all of the ingredients, all of the attributes to be successful. He said he gives us big for gifts and talents, that your gift, my talents, will bring us before great men and kings. Greatness is in us. It's because we got to tap the inner essence of our being. And that's the only thing I can tell people, is that we just have to find, what's your gift? What's your talent? God didn't put you in this earth without talents, gifts, and skills. But we have to reach within ourselves to discover them. Again, I grew up almost totally uneducable. I grew up almost nearby retarded. But then when I start getting around the church, people with positive attitudes, whoever you are around, I will tell you what you're going to be in the next 10 to 20 years by who you associate with. Now, I don't mean no harm, Dr. Skin. I'm not the smartest person in the room, but I find the smartest person in the room, and I go there and start a conversation, asking pertinent questions, which is the mother of masteries and intervention. And then I keep my mouth shut, because when I keep my mouth shut, I'm able to learn something that I didn't know from smarter people. I'm one of the smartest person in my math class, but I got with the smartest study group in mathematics, with my bachelor in math, with my master's. Oh my God, in my doctoral program, I got with the smartest study group that I could find and join the group. So therefore, you got to associate yourself with positive people. Get with people that have already been there and done that and got a T-shirt to celebrate. I mean, find yourself a mentor. A mentor will cut your success rate in half, because they will tell you where the pitfall, where the dead ends at, and you want to take that route. And then learn to celebrate successful people. Don't compare yourself. Don't get mad. Don't look like you've been drinking a lot of haterade and hating on people that are successful. Get with successful people.
You are tuned in to the Dr. Stem Show. To reach Dr. Stem or her guest, please email us at drstem@americaoutloud.com. Now, back to Dr. Stem for more support, confidence, and hope.
Here's the thing that I'm upset about, you know, or maybe concerned about. With this administration, the past administration, and the whole United States as a whole, right? So, and it's something that bothers me even when I'm talking to kids. As you know, I'm a counselor and life coach, and I work with teenagers. I am skeptical to tell someone to have as much passion and determination as I have, and as I had to go to college and attain an advanced degree. You know why, Doc?
Why?
$255,000 I'm in the hole right now.
Wow.
So that's the thing. You go to college, you're so determined to get it. So now, you know, with the $255,000, you know, debt that you're in, how do you even start to begin to have the life that you're meant to have when you have such a big, you know, I mean, loan that you've had to take? Mind you, mine, of course, you know, I have the 4 degrees, associate, bachelor's, master's, right, and doctorate degrees. But then, you know, I want the children to be educated. I want them to go and get an education. However, I'm now, you know, stepping into that reality to tell the parents to say, listen, it is not cheap for your kid to go to college. At some point when they come out, they're going to have this $100,000 debt, $80,000 debt. What are they going to do with that degree when they come out? See, I'm excited because then I love what I do. I'm so happy and grateful that I was able to get the education that I do. But that's why I have multiple forms of income that I try to do almost everything and anything to come up with this money so I can pay them up and start to have a life. You see, so what is it that, you know, I mean, America can do, you know, as we need the government to change these things in the school system. And then they appointed someone who's rich, whose child has never had the need to get financial aid, this lady that's, you know, the president is appointed. And that's scary. that's what's being called of us right now with this change in administration, for people to be realistic, for people to embrace, you know, this change, you know, I mean, at this point, and also do what you've said, to be open to finding scholarships and to finding means and ways of attaining a training that they can. Right. Trade schools are really good. You get yes. trained to trade, and then you start working. Really good.
Let me tell you the story. The story. It was a doctor that had a plumbing problem in his house. It was a Sunday. And he called, went to the, Yellow Pages and found the plumber and called the plumber to his house to do the job. The plumber came and executed the job, satisfactory, everything was working. And then he gave the doctor the bill. And the doctor said, "What? $200? You only been here an hour and a half." He said, "I'm a medical doctor and I don't make that kind of money." He said, "Yes, I was a doctor before I went to trade school and became a plumber too." So
you're right.
So what about the plumber? What about the auto mechanic? Mm-hmm. And what it takes is the technology today, and it takes skill today. Everything's different. Our cars work on computer. It's technology. So what I'm trying to say is nothing wrong. It's nothing wrong being a police officer. It's nothing wrong being a fire department. I mean, if my house on fire, I'm not calling another school administrator. I'm not calling a math teacher or psychologist. I'm calling the fire department. You know, somebody breaking into my house, I'm not calling Donald Trump. I'm not calling Congress. I'm calling 911.
Yeah. So these are
what I'm trying to tell you. Mm. And we have this here elitist that feel like we hold our nose down to people that don't have a BA or a MA or a PhD. But you know what a BA is, huh? A BS, huh? MS is more than the same. And a PhD, you just pile it high and deep. But what about the culinary, the one that in the five chef hotel that making six figures? What about the entrepreneur, the mom and pop stores? Come on, we got to look beyond just, you know, everybody not going to college. And just because you don't go to college don't mean that you don't have knowledge or education. Knowledge is one thing, but able to transmute it and to capitalize off that knowledge, Dr. Stem, it takes wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to make the right use of knowledge. Wisdom is the art of knowing what to focus on and knowing what to overlook. Because whatever you focus on magnifies, and whatever you overlook diminishes. And if you focus upon what you don't have, it will overshadow what you do have.
You're right. You're right. And that's the lesson with this new leadership that we're getting, you know, about focusing. What you focus on, as you said, magnifies, it expands. And you know what? It's also, like I said, you know, Doc, it's a time for people to think. For those of you that have boxes out there, it's time to think outside the box. Our leader here at America Out Loud, Malcolm Out Loud, he's like, "Listen, I don't have a box around me. There's no need for me to have a box around me. Why should I box myself when I can be free to think and do things that I want to do?" So for those of you that don't have a box out there, it's time to even think bigger, you know, around you. So the thing about it is you have to be realistic and brutally honest, which is one of the traits that we saw in this current, you know, coming, you know, president. He's tough. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid to be hurt. He's not afraid mm-hmm. to say what he thinks, you know. I mean, and I just don't see his genuineness. That's the only thing that, you know, I think sometimes we don't see that genuineness when someone is that brutally honest. But mm-hmm. I think as far as he's concerned, he can learn the things that need to be done, and we are going to be amazed at how much he can learn and how much he actually can, you know, put in place that will benefit the people. Once he learns what that means and, you know, his role and what he needs to do, I find him to be that kind of person that will fit in anyway and say, "You know what? I don't want my name to go down this way," because as a successful business person, yes, there are naysayers out there that are saying things, but he's going down as one of the billionaires that we've had in America. So because of that, you know, thinking that he wants, you know, his image to be a Trump card, I think he's going to learn the things that he needs to put in place that will win the people's, you know, support. And he can learn that too.
My suggestion to all Americans, first of all, President Donald Trump is president of all America, not just the all right, but minorities, black, white, yellow, you know, red and brown, of all the people. So it's incumbent upon us to pray for him. It's incumbent upon him that he be successful, because if he's successful, everyone in America will be successful. I mean, it's almost bringing factory job back to America. To me, that's a little unrealistic idea in the age of technology and what have you. I mean, even Carrier is putting a $7 billion in the plant. But guess what, Dr. Stem? That new innovation gonna put people out of work, because robots gonna be doing the work. So you need to learn how to program the computer to let the robot work for you with your knowledge. This is what we need to do. It's the thing, we need to reinvent ourselves. And right now I'm retiring in June. Hallelujah. June 30th.
Amen.
My last day. All right. And now guess what? I'm reinventing myself for my new life of professional speaking. I'm learning how to do the Moodle. I'm learning how to do conference calls and online and teach. I'm teaching different type of webcam. I'm learning this stuff. I didn't learn this, didn't know it before, but I have to reinvent myself. I have to re-educate myself to meet the demand of the millennium, the social media. I mean, I'm learning different, like Instagram. I'm learning Twitter. I'm learning blog. I'm learning this stuff. Nobody say, well, I got a doctor degree. I finished 7 school. I don't need to learn nothing. Nope. If I don't learn the current technology, I'm going to be eating somebody else's dust.
And that's what we are saying today, that it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what color you are. It's time to reinvent yourself, Doc.
Yes.
Thank you for saying that part.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, people would need to learn how to, you know, dig themselves out of the rut if, you know, benefits change at work. I mean, if you lose your job because of the changes that are happening,
yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, save for the rainy days.
And like I say, I'm making 6 figures as an educator. Okay? But now I'm retiring. Now I'm looking to make 6 figures more as a professional speaker. Selling online, selling from the platform, and then I'm associating myself with people that already made it.
Yeah, we're going to have
like
you.
Yourself.
We're going to have you have a radio show right here on America Out Loud, so you're going to have, you know, a platform to be.
that's what I'm saying. Because
yeah.
You already done that. You're
yeah.
successful, so I'm associating myself with you. I'm serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know anything about radio and what have you. So you get with mentors
right.
that you can make my life.
Right.
I can get there half the time that you got there. And let me tell you something, Doc.
Yes.
It's impossible to know what you don't know. And I don't know is an answer. But guess what, Doc? The more you learn, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. I'm reinventing myself with technology, okay?
And you know, it's so poignant, because yesterday as we were preparing this, you also said something about there are 2 days in your life, the day you were born and the day you discover why.
Yes.
And once you discover why, I think that's when you're open to reinventing your life over and over and over and over again, because it's exciting, because it keeps you in that mission, you know,
yeah.
of the reason why you were created, right?
Look, it makes you keep looking young.
that you're telling the truth.
Yes.
It truly is. It truly
yes.
is. It truly is.
It makes me look young.
Mm-hmm.
No, it rejuvenates you. Learning, and I'm excited. I got a training this afternoon. I got one training with a webcam at about 2:30 in Framingham with a computer geek. You know, he does this stuff. And then I got an online training tonight from 9:00 to 10:30 for the C.H. Mason Bible Institute of teaching the class online.
Yes.
I say, well, I got a doctor degree. I don't need to learn it, but my doctor degree is in education.
Exactly.
Culturally relevant, you know, multicultural education. They ain't dealing with technology. And when I get on it the first time, I look like a Mickey the Dunce. I mean, I need to be in a stool with a dunce hat on because I don't know. So therefore, because I don't know, I'm open to learn.
Like I said, this is calling for change. A lot of people are so comfortable in where they are, and all they do is complain about this not working and complain about not having the opportunity and complain about discrimination. But what this calls for is for people to get up and change, learn something new, do something new, but change your own personal life, change your family life, your work life. This is calling for change.
But guess what? You just said it. Change. But listen to me, Doc.
Yes.
Change requires a choice, and change requires a community. You will never change to go from good to great alone. You only can change within a constructive and positive community. Now, you can run faster alone, but we can run further together. We need to get geese sense. You don't never see one goose migrating from north to south and south to north alone. You see them flying as a group in formation. You got one leader. You got one on the back encouraging another to keep up. When the leader get tired, he drops out of formation and another goose gets up and lead the geese. So we got to learn to work together because we are better together. God did not put us in here to live in isolation on some mountain in some monastery, chanting and learning about God. When we work and do for one another, it's all about God's work and God's business. And let me tell you what, it's never been about I. When you spell sin, it's S-I-N. I is in the middle. I is self-centered. I is me, myself, and I. And it constitutes greed, selfishness, and sin, which is the rebellious and rejection of God. You look at others, O-T-H-E-R, the Son, S-O-N. It means that the gospel, the plan of salvation, is about others. You know, esteem others higher than yourself. Now, that takes a lot of self-discipline because I think highly about myself, but I always esteem you higher than myself. So, therefore, you should be off the charts when you talk with me.
So, you know, and I get you, but then, Doc, let's not forget that in order for them to work with the community or for me to work with within a community to make change, I have to do work on myself. I have to be able to work within a community and collaborate and give in ideas that will bring out change, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But it's like this. You got to really love yourself before you can love God or others.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that. But in order to be complete, it takes others to tell you when you're wrong. It takes other, like, right, when my breath is kicking, I can't smell my stinking breath. And I come and want to smooch on my wife. Baby, baby, give me a kiss. She give me a tic-tac. I don't get my feeling hurt. She telling me, take this tic-tac because your breath doesn't smell like roses. You've been eating onions in your salad. Ain't that right, baby? Yeah, baby, I have. Take this Tic Tac. I can't smell my stinking breath. It takes others in the community to tell me you need a Tic Tac.
One last word, Doc, as we end this show. We've been talking for a whole hour.
Wow.
So we're talking about this new administration. We're talking about change. And it's the good. We've had a great conversation with a whole lot of points that people can take and make a difference in their own personal lives. But one last change that you might, word that you might want to give out to the audience out there.
Change requires a choice. We are creatures of choice. It's our prerogative. And no one has that power over us. And our choices, we are the product of the choices we make. And only you can prevent forest fires. So therefore, it requires choice. But again, to reach that ultimate, metamorphosis, to make that caterpillar become a butterfly, change requires honesty, transparency, and community to make us better because we are better together. So that's change. Won't happen until you realize you need to make a change. You could go all to, you know, AA meetings, you know, alcohol anonymous, drug anonymous. You go into different type of rehab, but until you realize yourself that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired in your dumbdrum, in your situation, there's not going to be a change. And God will not force change upon you. I can't force change upon you. We have to realize that we need to make a change. Change requires a choice. It's your prerogative. But also change also requires a community that will hold you responsible and accountable. And that's why we need one another. I need you, Dr. Stem, and you need me. We all are part of this great big family. And no man is an island and no man stands alone. We are better together. And that's the only way change will be perfected.
I love that. I need you. And you need me, and we all need each other. And guess what? As we said, the president, our upcoming president, Donald Trump, needs all of us as
he need our prayers.
America. He
That's
needs
right.
all of us as America. So as you've heard during this show today, we spoke about finding balance. You all need to find balance within the administration and what has been said today. We also need to have a plan. So that you can work your plan. And I can't forget this one here. He spoke about managing your finances in a bulk, because you don't want to find yourself with a job just over broke. I love
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
I love that.
Right.
So you know what? We wish the president many best wishes going out to him. And with that, I say thank you, Doc, for being on the show with us today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tim. Until the next time, peace be in you and God be in. Love yourself and let the world watch.